Welcome to the Azure Podcast, a weekly podcast to keep you up to date on what's new on our cloud platform, Microsoft Azure. Your hosts, Cynthia Crane, Evan Basilik, Suji DeMello, Kendall Roden, Kel Teeter, and Russell Young discuss a different service or solution on each show, with subject matter experts to explain how to get started, how different services work, and how to make decisions in tricky scenarios. You can find out more about our podcast at azpodcast.com or follow us on Twitter at Azure Podcast.
Well, welcome back to the Azure Podcast. This is episode number 403, recorded on the 17th of November, 2021. And on Teams with me today, I actually have our special guest in person, which is awesome, Gopi, and as well as Suji. And as always, before we get into the topic to talk about GitHub and Azure today, we have some updates to share. Suji, do you want to start first?
I will. Thank you, Cynthia. Nice to see you back in the office there with your colleagues. So I have three updates to share today. And you know, we had a whole round of them with Ignite and whatnot in the last few weeks, but we actually have some this week as well. The product team doesn't sleep, I guess. They just keep on going. So the three that I have to share are, first one is the ability to run commands and scripts on your virtual machine as well as your entire virtual machine set. So just imagine that, you know, something's wrong with the virtual machine, you want to run a quick command, and maybe you can't access it right now, but through the portal, you can provide a script or a PowerShell script or a Bash script and have it run on all the machines in your virtual machine set or just the one that you want to target. And then the output can be, you can view it or you can redirect it to a storage account. So this is really handy for troubleshooting as well as doing one-off jobs. Maybe you have a line of business application running on your VMs and you have to do like some cleanup job or something like that. You know, you can just quickly run it through that facility. So this is, I think, a nice feature. Second one is with Azure Functions. As you know, Azure Functions has this concept of bindings, which very easily let you read and write data that you're going to process inside of your function. And in the past, we've had bindings for Cosmos DB, for Event Hub, for Event Grid, storage, et cetera, but never had it for Azure SQL. So now we have a binding for Azure SQL. So very easily, you can read some data in your function from Azure SQL, do some processing, and then write it back into Azure SQL just by using the concept of bindings, which is kind of like a no-code, low-code approach to reading and writing from storage. And the third I want to talk about, Cynthia, is the NFS file system in Azure Files. This one is close to me because I remember this was a big pain point back when we were trying to do the IBM WebSphere on AKS clusters. So anything that any of these enterprise applications that require a file clustering or a quorum-based file system, you can't use Samba, the Samba file system, which typically Azure Files exposes. You need NFS, the network file system. And so the NFS file shares now support NFS version 4.1, and that would open up a whole lot of other possibilities for applications that can run and use Azure Files as that central storage. Otherwise, you have to spin up your own NFS server, which is not a trivial task, you know, and it requires failover and whatnot. Here, you get all of that for free because we all know Azure Storage is very resilient. And so this will be a very handy thing for our customers. Cynthia, what about you?
Awesome. I had one around API management. It's a round of updates for October. I can't remember if we covered this in terms of our Ignite updates already, but we have now native support for WebSocket APIs that has gone GA, as well as EventGrid integration that has also gone GA, and some of the new things. If we have not talked about container apps enough, we need to talk about it again. And now you're able to import container apps as an API and API management, similar to the experience that you would do with app services and functions. And API and also now supports manage of identity authentication to communicate with App Insights, and you are also able to have multi-dimensional request metric in Azure Monitor. So we'll definitely put the link if you're interested in any of those details. And now moving on to our special guest, Gopi. Gopi, can you introduce yourself to our listeners and tell us what you do at Microsoft?
I'm first, you know, excited to be here. I know I was part of, you know, many channel line videos. I have done many DevOps sessions with the Doraemon too. So great to be, you know, part of the Azure podcast as well. I'm Gopinath. Like, you know, I was part of Microsoft for 21, 22 years now. I worked on various developer products, developer at heart, and, you know, worked on starting with Silverlight to Windows Phone to Visual Studio to .NET compilers to debuggers to very recently, I was actually part of Azure DevOps and then GitHub. I was a group product manager, you know, driving Azure pipelines. In fact, you know, I'm the one who created most of the Azure pipelines related, you know, features. And, you know, currently I just recently moved to the customer success team to help Azure application innovation to be super successful. Glad to be here.
Awesome. So I guess the first question we need to ask you is, as a developer where a lot of people live and breathe in GitHub, how does that relate to Azure? Like, what is the connection there and how do we use it together?
Awesome. Okay. Like, if you see many people, you know, if you're not sure about it, I think let me just share one statistic. Every application that is running today on the web or anywhere contains some part of the open source. And that open source is actually coming from GitHub. So even today itself, even if you don't do anything, so there is already every application that is running on Azure has some unknown connection back to GitHub, right? Because every open source package, like 97% of the packages are actually just using the open source and they're running on any cloud too. Now, in addition to this, what we are trying to do purely from Microsoft perspective is, if you are a developer who is working on GitHub, how can we help make it easy for you to deploy those applications to Azure? Now we are using GitHub Actions as a big platform to connect these two. So you can write your applications, you can continue to use, you know, GitHub, your favorite, you know, code editing tool to build, but for deploying, use GitHub Actions, and then we make it easy to deploy to Azure.
Now, Gopi, I know, I mean, I've obviously written some GitHub Actions tasks and whatnot that, you know, deploy to app services. So what's the next step in this evolution over here? Like, what else are you hoping to achieve with this new initiative?
Yeah. So, you know, I think today, if you just go back and then see, you pick any popular Azure resource, it can be app service, Kubernetes, R functions, logic apps, and maybe even the recent announced container apps too. I'm sure, you know, there is a GitHub action, you know, that is available for customers to pick and then deploy it. So we have built a great story there. Now, as a next step, I think, you know, there are a few scenarios that you know, we're all looking at it. Like, it's all about how do we optimize the developer lifecycle, right? The developer lifecycle with respect to starting an environment, like a developer environment, writing my code in code spaces, using GitHub Actions to deploy to, you know, Azure, to how do I just get some of the monitoring data and then look at all of these together in a single place, right? Sorry, the other place I just missed is the dev test too. And then there are, you know, investments that are just getting done to make sure that, you know, we have a great story end to end for a developer to get started from ideation to application running in the production and then monitoring it. That's the scenario that we are looking at.
So you mentioned, I think, two parts. You said environments and kind of infrastructure setup. And then you also talk about what is the actual application code running on it. When you think about developers, do you see people specializing in infrastructure and people specializing in code? And how does it differ in their experience with GitHub and Azure?
I see. Okay, so that's a, you know, tough question, right? You know, there are, you know, multiple ways that, you know, everyone is, you know, thinking about. But based on my conversations with customers and how the industry is evolving, slowly, like if I just see the gap or even the line between, you know, developer and then the IT or ops is slowly reducing. If you see many of the startups, and even in fact, I will just tell you, you know, even in Azure DevOps too, like we have evolved having three separated teams, dev team, IT team, ops teams as a separated teams to a single team, right? we do see, you know, it's an evolution, like it depends on the maturity model of the teams. But there are, you know, scenarios where, you know, mostly developers are in charge. They are writing the code. They are writing the IT infrastructure. They're even managing the ops too, right? If there is a, you know, request that just comes in, or if there is an alert, or if there is an incident that happens, developers also take the call. Like, you know, that's one class of customers that exist. But there are a set of customers who have significant IT infrastructure policy requirements. And then these are all real because of either the compliance reasons or, you know, for the governance reasons. In that cases, you know, there are separate IT teams who actually really know what does it mean for me to make sure that my entire infrastructure is compliant, right? It meets either my, you know, certification requirements or my governance requirements or my specific, you know, region requirements, and they try to control some of those. And then they are the ones who are in charge of, in that case, you know, writing either their ARM templates or infrastructure as code. But they work very closely with, you know, dev or the development team. In fact, you know, that's where the GitHub comes into the picture, or that's where infrastructure as code comes into the picture. How do we just bring these two a lot more closer together? And the industry is moving towards it.
Yeah, you know, Gopi, I can see one gap when I was trying to, you know, using GitHub Actions to deploy my applications. Deploying apps is one thing, but creating the infrastructure before that was something you typically did by hand, or you have to then create this Terraform script or ARM template or Bicep, exactly. So, but, you know, as a developer, it's hard to imagine what that should be. You're writing code and you know, okay, this is code is, you know, it's, are we looking at helping them actually, you know, figuring out what that infrastructure should look like, right? And then deploying it for them. I think the apps deployment is there, but the infrastructure deployment still looks a little bit like a little bit of a hurdle for developers to circumvent.
That's right. Yeah, I think, you know, there is a maturity that is needed there. But, you know, as Cynthia was pointing out, you know, Biceps makes little bit easier because the abstraction level is a lot more higher. It's not about ARM template where you may need to create a JSON file and then tweak the JSON file, you know, which is like a huge one. But yes, I think, you know, so one is that's a solution. Like Bicep is the one that's just going to help us make it better. The other pattern I'm just seeing here where, you know, people are trying to leverage, like, you know, inside the GitHub, there are ARM templates that are available already. Like there are tons of quick start templates that are available. And when the bootstrap, what does it mean for me to just use it as is, right? Let me just pick the ARM template as is and then tweak like whatever key parameters that are needed. That's one pattern that people are following. The next pattern that I have actually just seen is, like, in fact, you know, the IT team creates these ARM templates and then they completely secure those ARM because it's to do with the infrastructure and the production resources. But you know what? They give permissions for you to use those. If you want to exactly take the same ARM templates and deploy to your dev environment or a, you know, QA environment or a, you know, integration environment too, you can just consume them as is. That's another big pattern that I'm just seeing. In fact, you know, that's what, you know, is called shift left in a way. That shift left because your production environment, your dev environment looks almost similar. The only place where they will tweak it is if they are using a high-priced scalable SKU on the production, they use a low-end SKU in their dev and a test environment so that they can just do the testing. So that's another pattern that customers are following.
This is probably a rather specific question, but since you work on the Azure pipelines, I'm curious, is there a similar idea of environment variables within GitHub Actions? In, like, I remember in Azure DevOps where you can kind of point out these and then it can swap for your like dev credentials, your prod credentials. Is there like a similar thing you can do in GitHub as well?
That's right. Actually, you know, GitHub also has something called secrets.
Okay.
And the environment variables too. You can set those, you know, at the repo level. Like, I think, you know, the concept of, you know, repo is the primary, you know, critical thing there in the GitHub, but they do now have an environment concept too. So you can set your variables at a repo level or even at environment level, and then you can repurpose them. And then if they are secrets, like, you know, they completely protect it, and then every time you just clone a repo or you try to just reuse it, you can control with the ACLs, with the permissions on who can do it, who cannot do it too. So yes, definitely.
Got it. Okay.
So if people don't know on this podcast, like the GitHub Actions, the backend is actually Azure Pipelines.
Good to know.
Is that why
they're still using YAML?
Yes. The YAML and GitHub Actions is, you know, we learned all the mistakes that we have done in Azure pipelines and then, you know, made it much better. Like the GitHub Actions YAML looks, you know, clean, neat.
Gopi, you mentioned monitoring earlier, right, in your initial discussion. And that's another pain point, I think, right, for developers, just to complete the whole story. Okay, now you've deployed your infrastructure, you deployed your apps, and monitoring from GitHub is, I mean, GitHub has no, like, monitoring dashboard, as we all know, at least not that I'm aware of. Maybe there is something coming up. But, you know, what's the monitoring story? Like, how should developers think about monitoring as, you know, more as it relates to using GitHub as code spaces and things like that, you know?
Yeah. Good question. I will tell you, yes, I think I don't think GitHub today has any monitoring story. But the way to think about is like, it's just purely my perspective or, you know, my viewpoint. Monitoring is always tied a lot more to the cloud that you are targeting, you know, because the way Azure monitoring works versus the way AWS monitoring works or the GCP monitoring works is significantly different. Or it is fine. Like, you know, some customers can decide to say, hey, you know what, I'm a Kubernetes, I will just continue to use Prometheus as my monitoring. So all of these are different concepts and then the different models that exist. Today, the way GitHub just looks at it, once your application is deployed, can I actually just give you pointers on the environment so that you can actually just go reach out to your specific cloud target? Now, whichever is the cloud target, you should be able to configure appropriate monitoring things, or if it is completely neutral like Prometheus too, you can just use those. But that's the point of view.
Gopi, coming from your perspective of being very in touch with GitHub as our developer cloud and then Azure as our like underlying compute infrastructure cloud, do you see people from the developer cloud going into Azure, or do you see people from the Azure cloud going into GitHub?
Okay. I don't know how to answer this question, but you know, the developers would love to stick around as much as possible in the GitHub.
Mm-hmm.
But they do need to do some activities. As Suji was asking, what do I need to do for monitoring? You do need to go there. So there is a good bridge that just needs to be built between, you know, people on the GitHub to go back to Azure, right? But now the question you're asking is, people on the Azure, do they need to go back to GitHub? Like the way I just, you know, think about this is, today, you know, there are ways of when I'm creating now new resources, or, you know, when I'm just, you know, building up something brand new with respect to my application patterns too, like it'll be great for us to just to make sure, can I actually automatically provision GitHub with all the DevOps best practices automatically when I create the resources too? In fact, some of these solutions are available today for a limited set of resources. If you actually either create a, you know, app service, or if you create a static web app, or, you know, I think those are the two definitely, you know, there is a provision where while creating, it actually asks you, tell me, you know, where should my code, you know, mm-hmm. code repo should mm-hmm. live? Tell me how should, you know, I just provision some of the, you know, DevOps best practices. Now, we are just at a, you know, really early version of it, but as we evolve, we just want to really make sure that the bridge between these two is seamless. Like, it doesn't matter whether you started on Azure, whether you started on GitHub, you will get the best practice or, you know, industry practices where you can just make sure that your DevOps is fully automated, your repos are fully secured, the right permissions are set up. And, you know, at some point, even the monitoring, you know, stuff is also 100% taken care is what we'd love to achieve.
And this may be a bit of a loaded question, so you don't feel like you have to answer it. But, you know, for folks who are using Azure DevOps, and then there are, you know, the folks using GitHub, and there's a difference between the two, right? So I use both as part of my regular work. I feel I need to learn two different things, right? I mean, the whole thing with the way stories are handled in Azure DevOps is different from the way it's handled. And as Cynthia said, you know, the YAML definitions for the pipelines are, of course, not the same. So is there a plan to unify these approaches, at least so that developers' lives are easy and they don't have to learn two things? Like, it seems like Microsoft is producing two things different for a developer. Is there something afoot, you know, to kind of unify that approach?
Oh my God, Suji, you got to ask that question, right?
I'm sorry. I said, if it's a loaded question, if you don't feel like you don't want to answer it, don't answer it.
Yeah. Let me just tell you, the way to think about this is, you know, I think, you know, Azure DevOps, when it was built, it was focused a lot more towards enterprise, right? It has a significant enterprise focus, and then that's how it just got evolved. And now when we just look at it, the GitHub is a significant mind share from developer's perspective. And GitHub was focusing primarily on the developer key scenarios on how do I just create my pull request? How do I just, you know, make, you know, code writing better? How do I just make sure that my repo is organized in the best way? I think, you know, nobody can beat them. I think, you know, they have the best solution. Whereas Azure DevOps, obviously, it had repos too, but given that it was targeting for enterprises, it had other solutions, like, you know, how do I just do pipelines is one, how do I do, you know, boards is one, how do I do, you know, testing is one, like, you know, taking care of most of the enterprise requirements. Now, with this acquisition, we do want to bring it together. Now, here is the story, or here is my recommendation. I know maintaining two systems is a little bit harder, but, you know, obviously GitHub, we are trying to bring it up, right? With, you know, most of the features that that Azure DevOps has, as I just talked about, Actions is the one that's just coming up, but it is backed by pipelines. So similar story. So today, if you are as a customer on Azure DevOps, absolutely, you can just continue to be there. Microsoft is fully supporting, you know, the entire Azure DevOps. There is nothing to panic. You can continue to use it. There are enhancements that are getting done. But if you are starting a brand new project, Suji, my recommendation is get started on GitHub. Because the innovations that we have done in GitHub with respect to the repo or PR experiences that I talked about, or even the security perspective, right? The advanced security perspective, I think, you know, security is becoming critical for every application, for every enterprise, you know, for maintaining, you know, all the governance perspective too. It is being, you know, really, really critical. And there is absolutely no product in the world, including ADO, didn't have all of the security features that are there. Purely for that perspective, I think my recommendation is, if you are starting a brand new project, get started on GitHub, start using repos. And then if you don't meet your requirements, for example, if you start on GitHub today, maybe, you know what, I think for planning, you know, purely if you want to do planning, roadmap, how do I do, you know, better tracking of all my issues and work items? I don't think issues will meet enterprise need today. You can use Azure Boards as just the only one. And the integration between these two is great. That will be my answer.
I see. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, so I do agree with you that the whole story management is a lot easier in Azure DevOps. And then you can just point Azure DevOps to GitHub for the repo section. Is that what you're referring to?
That's what I'm just saying. That's right.
Okay. And in that case, the pipelines.
Go ahead.
No, I just wanted to complete that. With the pipelines, it's the same. Do you say we should use Azure DevOps pipelines, or you think like the action GitHub Actions innovations are, you know, a lot more now?
I think, you know, today for most of the people, probably for CI, if you want to, you know, divide CI and CD separately, I think most of the CI requirements are met with GitHub Actions. Now, if you want to do CI and CD both, I think Azure Pipelines has a lot more feature set that you want to do. And again, Azure Pipelines has also deeper integration with GitHub repos. So you can actually store your code in GitHub, you get the security, and you leverage Azure Boards and Azure Pipelines for your planning and then the CI/CD solution.
That's really good. Thank you. Sorry, Cynthia, you were saying something.
Oh, no worries. So for our listeners, CI is continuous integration and CD is continuous deployment. And Gopi, you are alluding a lot to security. So can you tell us a little bit more about the DevSecOps story with GitHub and using it on Azure?
Oh, yeah. I think I can, you know, we have done a bunch of announcements even in Ignite and before in Build too. If you want to look at in the market, the best DevSecOps end-to-end integration, I think, you know, GitHub and Azure is the story that you have to use. Like the way you start from, how do I just make sure that my pull request, as part of my pull request, can I make sure my code is getting tested and, you know, I'm merging the code, which already meets all the quality criteria. Now, in addition to that, you can actually include all the security. Like when I say security, if accidentally, if anyone includes their tokens, right, it can be Azure tokens or any of those tokens inside the GitHub GitHub code, it can just be caught as early as possible so that none of your code is getting leaked. It can be tokens, it can be passwords too. So that's a great story. That's a great story we want to get started. Not just stopping it there. I think, you know, GitHub as a dependa bot, where if you're using many of the packages, it can be OSS packages. As soon as you found a vulnerability in any of those packages, dependa bot can automatically raise pull request. So that, you know, your code, you are, you know, trying to remove all the vulnerabilities. And in addition to that, if you are using containers, right? And, you know, containers also can contain vulnerabilities. And using GitHub Actions, like Azure provides the security vulnerability container scans that need to be done. You can pre-scan all your images before you push them into the container registry. So as, you know, as far as the developer is concerned, if he's writing his code, at that moment, can we make sure that the code that is getting shared or getting merged into the master branch is completely, you know, security free as much as possible. But afterwards, if there are events or if there are new vulnerabilities that do come in, I think GitHub has features where it can just, you know, create new pull request and it will notify you saying that, hey, you know, there is a security issue in this package, go consume the new package or fix this issue. So phenomenal story, phenomenal integration that exists between Azure Security Center and GitHub to achieve the DevSecOps scenarios.
For some of the things you just mentioned, are these actions or steps that the developer would have to set up? Or are these like built-in wizard type that I just have to click a button and like make my process secure and then it'll scan for all of those vulnerabilities?
Yeah, it's a great question. Like all the password scanning, token scanning, some of the code QL scanning that I just talked about, some of the package scanning, I think it's just like a wizard button where you just need to, you know, configure it. You will just get all of those for free.
That's awesome.
So Azure plus GitHub, best story for DevSecOps.
I think you've convinced me for sure. Thank you, Gopi. That was really, really well put. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show. It's been great. And if you have any resources or anything like that, you know, just hand them over to Cynthia and she'll put them on the along with the show notes in this episode.
For sure. Any last comments you want to share with the listeners? Anything that they should go do and try out?
Oh, no. I think, first of all, I'm just, you know, glad to be here. Excited to be part of now Azure podcast too. So, you know, great. I think I will just tell only one thing to all the listeners to say, you know, if you have not tried out GitHub, go try it out. And, you know, GitHub with Azure will make you best, you know, DevSecOps solution. And it just, you know, improves your productivity immensely.
Awesome. Well, thank you so
thank
much.
Thank you. Thank you
thank
all.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to the show. If you have any thoughts, questions, or just want to connect, find us on Twitter at Azure Podcast. Background music has been taken from ccmixer.org under the Creative Commons license. We hope you'll tune in again soon to keep learning with us.